ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The Israeli Security Cabinet has accepted the ceasefire deal with Hamas. It now just needs full ratification from the government. It would go into effect Sunday. ABC's Ian Pannell has the latest from Tel Aviv.
A war ravaged Gaza. A ceasefire can't come soon enough.
Israeli airstrikes raining down on the strip since the agreement was announced, killing more than 100, according to the Hamas-run health authority.
The deal would see the release of 33 hostages, the first three taking place on Sunday. The Supreme Court could rule today on whether the law that bans TikTok in the U.S. can go into effect Sunday, but the Biden administration says they do not plan to enforce a ban. And President-elect Trump's incoming national security advisor says there are plans in place to keep TikTok from going dark. The president commuted the sentences of almost 2,500 nonviolent drug offenders and better weather conditions, giving Southern California residents and firefighters a reprieve. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services has confirmed the first pediatric influenza-associated death in our state for the 2024-25 season. Respiratory illness activity is currently high in Wisconsin. Emergency department visits due to flu and RSV have also increased, especially in infants and young children. While getting vaccinated against respiratory viruses is important for everyone, it is especially important for young children, older adults, people with chronic health conditions, and those who are pregnant. Getting vaccinated can help prevent illness or reduce the severity of symptoms and serious complications if someone does get sick. DHS encourages everyone 6 months and older to get vaccinated against flu and COVID-19. Infants 8 months or younger and those 9 to 19 months with an increased risk of RSV can receive the RSV vaccine. Parents and caregivers can get information about which vaccines are right for their children from their health care provider. It's recommended those who are between 32 weeks and 36 weeks pregnant get one dose of the maternal RSV vaccine, administered September through January. Adults 75 and older and those 60 to 74 who have an increased risk of RSV are also eligible to get vaccinated against RSV. As congressional Republicans push for cuts to Medicaid, a new report found that nearly a third of the children in Wisconsin's rural areas have coverage through the program. According to the report from Georgetown University's Center for Children and Families, the percentage of children enrolled in the program in rural and urban areas is just about equal. Health officials say without the program, many rural families would be uninsured or underinsured. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Bucks bounce back. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Bucks have won four of their last five games. They host the Raptors tonight. Now, they beat the Magic on Wednesday. On Tuesday, they ended the Kings' seven-game winning streak. But on Sunday, they got blown out by the Knicks. Head coach Doc Rivers.
Tonight, I thought we were high energy. The other night, we had no energy. The good part of that is it makes you know you can play against anybody. The bad part of that is if you don't have it, you can lose against anybody, and we've shown that too much.
Baseball players and coaches remembering Bob Uecker, who died after a battle with lung cancer. I asked Ryan Braun if he relied on Uecker as a confidant and friend.
Yeah, I think it always felt like a safe space when you were having a conversation with him. He was almost like a team psychiatrist or psychologist where you knew that you could talk to him about anything, you could fully trust him, you valued his feedback and his opinion, and you knew that anything that you shared, you could trust that he was going to do right by you.
That's former Brewer Ryan Braun. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be warmer but windy today. Some sunshine this morning. Clouds will increase this afternoon with a high right around 40 this afternoon. Tonight it gets colder with a low of 12. Tomorrow, sunny, windy, 17. We're going to drop to 3 below Sunday with a high on Sunday afternoon right around 0. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 32.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Here's what the WSJ had said after J6. This week has probably finished Donald Trump as a serious political figure. Boy, that hasn't aged well, has
no,
it?
No, not at all.
In the Wall Street Journal. So after what they just said 4 years ago, Maggie, they couldn't bring it upon themselves to say that guy who did that shouldn't be anywhere near the White House again. Nope, couldn't do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin, in the dead of winter, could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zanies next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwalbe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens, Visit Kenosha Marketing Director Meredith Jamesco, and Bar Band Friday Nights resume with Max Inc. radio host Terry Barr.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8. News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. How are you?
Hey, man, 42 degrees, man.
Yeah, we got to enjoy it because it's going to disappear by this evening.
well, it's not, you know, the full 42 degrees. It got a wind of about, I don't know, 12 miles an hour. So that kind of takes away part of the warmth. But just the thought of it being 42 degrees is enough for me.
You guys are both sissies.
So by now, if you don't know who that smart aleck is, that's my co-host Sandy Williams. And yes, Sandy, I'm a sissy when it comes to cold weather. I mean, it's not my cup of tea.
I'm glad you can qualify it.
Yeah. good morning to you, my friend. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Well, you know, warmth or not, you know, it's winter is going to return. This is winter. Winter's in control.
I know it, Sandy.
We can't complain about our weather. We don't have fires. We don't have hurricanes. We don't have massive floods. We just have a little, you know, bone-chilling cold to, you know, more people, more inventions were created in the Northern Hemisphere where it's cold because people have to be inside. They have to use their brain. They're a little bit bored. They have to figure out, you know, how to stimulate their thought process. If you live in warmth all the time, you just lounge.
And I'll tell you something, man. Calvin is rubbing off on me. He complains about the cold weather a lot. And so he's rubbing off on me. I agree with Calvin. Hey, it's too cold, man. It's too cold.
Sissies, boy.
You know, especially for somebody who's born in this hemisphere and has dealt with, and the other part of this, Sandy, is you make a legitimate point. This is not the winters that we used to have. I mean, for heaven's sakes, man, I remember snow pile up. Man, 6 feet tall on the sidewalk, on the sides of the street. They had things called snowbanks. You remember those?
I do. I do very well. And I remember having to plow they would plow the street, and you had to drive your car pretty fast through the end of the driveway so you could get out.
Oh, yeah. No question. It is a different time. But anyway, Bob Uecker. 90 years old, you know.
Bury him in the front row.
Very, very, you know, unique
he
man.
Was,
it's safe to say that.
He must have been a great guy to have as a teammate, because you'd be basically in stitches all of the time. He was a terrifically funny guy, and he didn't have a writer. He just had a quick brain. You know, he was on the Johnny Carson Tonight Show 100 times, and I assure you that there was never a rehearsal of what he was going to say, what he was going to do. He was just a very funny person.
So Johnny Carson's show was one of my favorites. And but before we go there, swinging the drive, way back, gone.
Get out of here,
yeah. Gone. Home run for Sandy Williams. Oh, maybe.
You sound like Harry Carey, though. You know.
I sound like Harry Carey. It's better to sound like Harry Carey than to look like Harry Carey.
I know. No, you don't look like him. That's true. But, and actually, Harry Carey's memory will never get past the Will Ferrell imitation of Harry Carey, which is kind of hard to beat, you know? Once you've seen that, you can't erase it.
You know, Sandy, here's a man, Bob Uecker, who up until 2 years ago was still broadcasting, maybe 3 years, 162 baseball games a year.
Yeah, he was 90 years old, so at age 87, he was living out of a suitcase, traveling around with a baseball team. I'm sure keeping the team in stitches. I'll bet the hotel bar where the team stayed was Bob Uecker holding court.
You know what? It was not only 162 games, because he did all spring training, which was like 30 spring training games. I mean, baseball is a grueling schedule, right? I mean, they play a lot of baseball games.
Yeah. Well, you don't. Baseball doesn't involve any exercise, so it's pretty easy to do.
Well, I don't think they would.
That's my bias. Yeah. Right? You know, I'm sorry.
Let me say this to you. You never knew much. Did you ever meet him?
No, I never did meet him. I would love to have, but. Because, you know, I'm sure he would make your day happier in the process. He had more one-liners that everyone knows. He was a bit like Yogi Berra, except that he didn't use broken English.
Yeah,
he was well-trained. I think he went to West Dallas High School. He was a Milwaukee boy through and through.
Yeah, you know, the other part of it is you just, you know, he was always jovial. There was I don't know anything about his personal life. Didn't know if he was married, had children, any of those things, because he was wedded to baseball. And I go back so far, Sandy, I remember him even playing for the Braves.
Yeah, I do too. Well, he had a 6-year career. I didn't realize how short it was. But, I remember him playing for the Braves. And he specialized in trying to catch knuckleball pitchers' pitches, you know, knuckleball. The knuckleball is a ball that comes in slowly but has a wide range of curves and it kind of bobbles around. Very hard to catch. Well, his famous one-liner about catching Phil Niekro, who was in the Hall of Fame for being the first and best knuckleballer ever, was, "How do you catch it?" they said. And he said, "Well, I just wait till it stops rolling and then I pick it up."
Yeah. Well, you know, a knuckleball, you take the two outside fingers and you stick your nails into the ball and your fingers
into the stitches.
And yeah. You're right. And you know, difficult. Clearly you can't throw it hard because you don't grasp the ball, you know, so it starts dancing. It used to be, I guess, the way it used to be when they used to do spitters, right? They used to put spit on the ball.
Yeah, well, the knuckleball, the thing it does is it doesn't spin. So, you know, the balls, when they're spinning, I think it creates some air currents around the ball that give it a trajectory that might be predictable. But the knuckleball, when it's thrown well, it doesn't spin at all. It just, you can see the laces all the way, but it just wobbles.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it wobbles. And you don't know by the time it gets to you, it drops. You know, you don't know when it's going to drop, but it's certainly going to drop. And so, yeah. But Bob Uecker, man, I used to watch him on Johnny Carson. I'm a young boy. I just love Johnny Carson and Ed McMahon and Bob Uecker. They'd bring him out. And, you know, yeah, man, those were great times.
Yeah, I sort of picture myself as your Ed McMahon.
Come
I
on.
I just have to develop that hearty laugh. He was paid to laugh at Johnny's jokes.
Yeah, and you know, and I read some stuff later on. He really wasn't, you know.
Not a nice guy.
No. He was not. But anyway, I digress. A lot to talk about on the show this morning, Sandy, an awful lot. And I really would like to begin, you know, we got so many things going on. Monday is the inauguration of President Donald Trump. It's also, you know, Dr. King Day. And I will say this to you. Did you see Joe Biden's farewell speech?
I saw portions of it. You know,
I couldn't watch it.
Huh?
I couldn't watch it. I started watching it.
Uh-huh.
And the reason I couldn't watch the whole thing, Sandy, is part of me, I think people have unfortunately not been truthful on a lot of positive things that Joe Biden did. So I've got a list of things that he did. You know, I think that certainly he lost a lot of the shine.
Well,
for not supporting, you know, for supporting Benjamin Netanyahu and what went on, and he really did towards the end of all of that, he took a beating for doing what almost any other president, Sandy, would have done. Right?
Well, I think that, you know, we've got Donald Trump on the one hand, who does nothing but talk about himself, glorify himself, take credit for everything, blame everyone else for whatever goes wrong. I mean, this is what he does, his stock and trade. And the Democratic administration of Biden had a great deal of trouble messaging to the people what they were doing and taking credit for it. And it kind of left them vulnerable to be the people who had fingers pointed at them by the likes of Donald Trump. So, you know, the messaging was all kind of one direction, and it's form over substance. But I think we're finding out that lots of politics, particularly the reputations in politics, are form over substance. It's PR, it's messaging more than it is the substance of what gets done.
Yeah, he really did some good things, and you know, history will bear it out, Sandy, over time. It's not going to be something that right away people are unfortunately going to say, well, Joe Biden was really a good president, because they're going to hear these things that, you know, the allegations of, well, he lost his mojo and the Democrats didn't do anything about it and they knew he had lost it.
Well, you know, before he'd been in office for 2 months, Donald Trump was calling him the worst president ever. And people who call in continue to talk about how he's the worst president ever without ever providing a list that goes beyond the first couple of the period of inflation in his early presidency and the fact that there are several wars in the world that have occurred on his watch. But there's never been otherwise a capacity to discuss what it is that would possibly make him the worst president.
Well, the old analogy, the pot calling the kettle black. 855-752-4842. Sandy, we're going to run down a list of some of the accomplishments of President Joe Biden that people may have forgotten. 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're an organ donor, right? Here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Native American voters prevailed in federal court against the state of North Dakota, protecting the ability to elect the candidate of their choice. January 13th, the U.S. Supreme Court refused to hear a redistricting case we covered back in May 2024, affirming a North Dakota federal appeals court decision. The appeals court had dismissed a state house district challenge by two non-native residents who claimed their rights were infringed. The case dates back to 2021 when the Mandan, Hidatsa, and Arikara nations, also known as the MHA Nation, negotiated with the state to protect native voting power under the 1965 Voting Rights Act, Section 2. After an agreement, state GOP officials later shamefully reversed positions in 2022, embracing a new GOP tactic which argues such majority-minority districts are a violation of the Equal Protection Clause under the U.S. Constitution. The same argument has been made in Robinson v. Calais over Louisiana's now two majority-minority districts. The MHA Nation decision protects North Dakota State House District 4A and three other districts. Great news for Native voters. But the Louisiana case is expected to be heard in the High Court in early 2025, and the conservative justices seem to have made it their mission to dismantle the VRA. We have links to the history of the case at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
So I clearly know what that is. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams, and Sandy, the music.
Well, the music is all music that's played with the changing of the guards. And so Monday we have a changing of the guard, for better or worse, but that's what we got. Yep. And so today's music is that, although the last changing of the guard, actually, this is all based on an ability to tell a Shaggy Dog joke, because the last song I play is the punchline.
All right. Sandy, let me run down a few of the accomplishments of the Joe Biden presidency. He only had 4 years. And so he didn't have eight. He had four. And so I think people should take into consideration what he was able to get done in a divided Congress with 4 years. Passed a $1.2 trillion bipartisan infrastructure package. Sandy, that I heard Bill Clinton say out of his own mouth, is going to be ongoing for, you know, a decade. There'll still be vestiges of that investment in the infrastructure package long after Biden is gone. So anyway, $1.2 trillion bipartisan infrastructure package. He helped get more than 500 million life-saving COVID-19 vaccinations in the arms of Americans. Sandy, I was one of those people who got those vaccinations at a time when we were all unsure if all of us or who would contract this, watching people die at the rates they were?
Well, I think we have all been very quick to forget what it was like during the first year and a half of the Biden presidency with the pandemic and the mess of the pandemic, because the government had not organized itself to deal with the pandemic. So, you know, Trump now says that he's inherited a dumpster fire, but Biden actually did inherit a dumpster fire in terms of the disorganization and disarray of the government surrounding the pandemic, and as well how to respond to it.
He stopped a 30-year streak of federal inaction on gun violence by signing the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act that created enhanced background checks, closed the boyfriend loophole, and provided funds for youth mental health. You don't hear much about that. Made a $369 billion investment, Sandy, in climate change, the largest in American history, through the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022. ended the longest war in American history by pulling the troops out of Afghanistan. Sandy, all you hear is, well, 17 people got killed at the end, and Joe Biden, and he... But none of the fact that the longest war in the history of the nation came to an end under President Joe Biden.
It came to an end under the terms that had been negotiated by
Donald Trump.
So, I mean, it's kind of weird. We keep getting the calls. People keep pointing at that. But actually what happened was the Donald Trump negotiated settlement was carried out by Biden. 13 servicemen died in the process. Many more than 13 were dying on an annual basis as the result of our involvement there. But anyway, this is all about messaging. All these, well, you've just described a couple of things that as far as Donald Trump is concerned, portray the reasons why he is supposedly the worst president. You know, the work that was done on climate change is all described by the Trump administration as a waste of money and proof of folly. And the ending of the Afghan war is pointed at as being evidence of supposed weakness.
Provided $10,000 to $20,000 in college debt relief to Americans with loans who make under $125,000 a year. And Sandy, this one, cut child poverty in half through the American Rescue Plan. How often is that even talked about?
Yeah, I mean, the sorry thing about America, this richest country in the world, is that we have a high percentage of infants and children living in poverty. I mean, higher than many other of the developed countries. So, yeah, this is something that clearly needs attention to be paid to it. And this is further evidence that government is a tool that needs to be used and needs to be honed so that it can deal with problems. And we have an incoming administration who basically says government needs to be eliminated.
Cap prescription drug prices at $2,000 per year for seniors on Medicare through the Inflation Reduction Act. That's a major accomplishment. Sandy, how many times had people tried to address the cost of pharmaceutical drugs and we're not able to get anywhere? This is a major accomplishment. You want?
No, absolutely. The Biden administration began to take on the medical representatives of the medical industry on K Street and in several ways took them head on.
Achieved historically low unemployment rates after the pandemic caused them to skyrocket. You know, people kept talking about, I mean, those things, Sandy, in the face of the catastrophic reality of what our nation was when he took office, just unbelievable.
Well, you know, we had a soft landing from the inflation. We had no recession, okay, when a recession was predicted as absolutely likely as the result of the pandemic. We came out of the pandemic with a much more successful economy than any other country in the world. Including China, and one of the biggest economy other than ours in the world. So, like I said, the Democrats just weren't able to accomplish messaging to describe to the people all these things that were happening. And Donald Trump was able to paint them in the negative, fiction over truth, messaging over substance.
You know, Sandy, there's more, and I want to make sure that we get these things on the record for people who may have forgotten and who may have been misled to believe. If you keep hearing conservative talk today, as I do, Sandy, I listen to it, they keep saying the worst president in the history of the nation. And I sometimes think maybe they're talking about the guy coming in. 855-752-4842. My co-host Sandy Williams is on board. You can join us as well at 855-752-4842. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
News from the Center, WRCE. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services has launched a new outreach campaign to highlight the risk of menthol tobacco products. According to a press release, DHS officials say about 9,300 people under 18 in Wisconsin will try cigarettes for the first time each year, half of whom will start with menthol cigarettes. Officials are also warning about targeted marketing of the products in communities of color, leading to higher rates of smoking prevalence. The DHS is running a digital marketing campaign to expand public awareness. State Republicans are circulating a bill that would require approval from every local municipality before developers could seek Public Service Commission approval for wind or solar projects. Under the bill, municipalities would need to consider a resolution on a potential project within 90 days after being asked for approval by the developer. If the resolution isn't voted on within that time frame, the Public Service Commission could consider it approved. Supporters of the bill say it will empower local officials and give them a voice in the projects. Wisconsin's new reading program under Act 20 could be on its way towards being an unfunded mandate by the state legislature. $50 million is held up in the Joint Finance Committee over a disagreement between Republicans in the legislature and Governor Tony Evers on how the money should be spent. The already approved funding was tapped for materials and training for school staff to implement phonics-based literacy for elementary school students. If the money isn't released by June 30th, the funds go into the state surplus. Free milk and cheese will be available Saturday from 9:30 until gone at Park Street Christian Church. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Malcolm in the Middle is putting the band back together. The crazy popular show that premiered in 2000 is ready for a reboot. Bryan Cranston and Jane Kaczmarek will return, as well as series creator and head writer Linwood Boomer. Frankie Muniz also returns as Malcolm, who is now almost 40. During the show's 151-episode run, it pulled 33 Emmy nominations. Disney announced they will make 4 episodes to start. In Oh My Gosh, it's been a few weeks since Taylor Swift has made news. She is being a supportive girlfriend. Travis Kelce has decided to continue his NFL career despite falling stat lines, and Taylor Swift says she fully supports his decision. That's the story. It's not much, folks, but a little Taylor Swift news is less depressing than other news happening around the world. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be warmer but windy today. Some sunshine this morning. Clouds will increase this afternoon with a high right around 40 this afternoon. Tonight it gets colder with a low of 12. Tomorrow, sunny, windy, 17. We're going to drop to 3 below Sunday with a high on Sunday afternoon right around 0. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina?
Yes.
Can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Our friend Matt Rothschild will be in the guest hosting chair next time, along with Tourism Secretary Ann Sayers, Wisconsin's Poet Laureate, and Brittany Merlot, talking owls and birds. Join them.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. It's Friday. It means Friday is my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Sandy, the music.
Yeah, the music is music from changing of the guard. Most of it's from British. The British have a ceremony much like we have at Arlington, but they have it at all kinds of places, and they play this music when they change the guard.
So before the break, we were talking about some of the many accomplishments of President Joe Biden as he winds down, 3 days left in office, and just the lies that were told about his time and him being the worst president in the history of this nation. His accomplishments belie all of those different things that they said. Sandy imposed a 15% minimum corporate tax on some of the largest corporations in the country, ensuring that they pay their fair share as part of the historic Inflation Reduction Act. I don't think people even think about that and the impact that that had on, you know, and the amount of money that that brought in to support these different things that he.
Well, and, you know, 15%, you know, that's the argument.
It's still pennies.
The argument about our corporate tax has been that it would chase businesses out of the country. But the fact is that in most countries, they have a value-added tax that's paid. And the number, the minimum number for the value-added tax in most countries is 15%. So this is a tax that is paid in every other country under a different name. And so it made sense to impose this tax. Now, Donald Trump and his coterie of billionaires would like to see essentially, I guess, no tax paid. And we've got this fiction in this process of form over substance of setting up what he's calling it the external revenue service, meaning that he thinks that the tariffs would be paid by those outside the country. And you know, again, this is a fiction being fed to the American people. When we have these tariffs, we'll find out we're going to pay for them. We're going to pay for them just like we do a sales tax.
Recommitted America to the global fight against climate change by rejoining the Paris Agreement that Donald Trump took us out of. Strengthened the NATO alliance in support of Ukraine after the Russia invasion by endorsing the inclusion of world military powers, Sweden and Finland. You know, Donald Trump and the people who support him can easily say that Russia would have never invaded Ukraine if Trump was the president. But they've got nothing to back that up, Sandy, other than
they can
service.
Also say there never would have been a fire in California. Yeah. They can say, you know, I mean, it's easy to say what might not have happened that did happen, but it's not something that's subject to being proven, and it's not altogether probable.
Gave Medicare the power to negotiate prescription drug prices through the Inflation Reduction Act while also reducing government health spending. Sandy, these are even individually, these are things and accomplishments that many other presidents tried to get done before and were not able to get it done. And he did it in a divided government, Sandy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I'm confident that Joe Biden will go down in history as being one of the, much like Lyndon Johnson, one of the few presidents who really understood how to deal with Congress and how to get things through Congress. And actually, that has not been a strength of that many presidents. And it certainly wasn't a strength of Donald Trump, and it wasn't necessarily a strength of Barack Obama either. Biden did accomplish a bunch of things, and he got a bunch of Republicans to vote on things that were of vital importance. I just think it's this craziness of branding. And Donald Trump, his intent on branding Joe Biden as the worst president ever, and he was intent on branding Barack Obama as a devil. And for some reason, the people that follow him buy into it. you know,
held Vladimir Putin accountable for his invasion of Ukraine by imposing stiff economic sanctions, boosted the budget of the Internal Revenue Service by $80 billion to reduce tax evasion and increase revenue. That's one of the reasons they want. That's one of the reasons that they wanted him gone.
Well, yeah, the people with lots of money don't really like tax audits. Here's the deal: if you work in a and get a paycheck every month, your tax gets automatically deducted from your paycheck, and you actually pay your taxes automatically. There's
no
very
choice.
Little room for tax evasion in that process.
Right.
If you have lots of money, you end up paying estimated taxes. You basically have to report on yourself as to how much money you're making, and then you have to estimate how much tax you ought to pay and divide that by four and pay it on a quarterly basis. That's the area where there can be lots of potential evasion of taxes, and that's the area that's inhabited by people who make quite a bit of money, not the people who are punching the clock, working and getting paychecks. And so those are the people who get audited. You know, it's not worth much to audit people who get paychecks every month and who pay their tax through their paycheck, and that can all be done by computer. The people who can't be evaluated in terms of the fairness in which they pay their taxes are the people who make lots of money and who pay estimated taxes. And those require audits. And guess who they don't want to have on the payroll at the IRS?
Sandy.
So many auditors.
Created more jobs in 1 year, 6.6 million, than any other president in U.S. history. You don't hear these kind of reduce health care premiums under the Affordable Care Act by $800 a year as part of the American Rescue Plan. Signed the PAC Act to address service members' exposure to burn pits and other toxins. Signed the CHIPS and Science Act to strengthen American manufacturing and innovation. Reauthorized the Violence Against Women Act in 2027. Halted all federal executions after the previous administration reinstated them after 17-year freeze. And Sandy, and on and on and on, and he did this in 4 years, Sandy. So,
yeah.
So the more you hear all of this negative talk about what Joe Biden didn't do, we just ran down the list of 20 things that he did do that historians will say were monumental. Is it safe to say that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, the only thing that he now suffers from is this notion that maybe he should have announced he was a one-term president and that whole process. But his work as president was exemplary, and it's going to be recorded as that by history, regardless of this effort by Donald Trump to brand him. And so, you know, his current brand, not so good. But why is it not so good? It's because people are ignoring the substance and simply buying into the form.
You know, Sandy, when I started looking at this list, all I could think about was 4 years he did it. You know, and truthfully, as he started deteriorating in the last year of his presidency, he did most of that in the first 3 years, Sandy.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, there was almost nothing done in the last year because you really are a lame duck in that last year, and the campaign is ongoing. And regardless of what his physical condition is, there's little to be accomplished in the fourth year of a four-year presidency. The fact is that people who get reelected don't tend to accomplish much in their second 4 years anyway, so that, you know, the reelection is the stamp of approval from the public that they thought you did an okay job and they reelected you. But politically speaking, you can go through history and find that not a lot is accomplished in the second 4 years. LBJ, who probably accomplished more than just about anybody, was like a 5.5-year president. He was a one-term
right.
elected president and accomplished almost everything he accomplished in the first 3 years of his presidency. After that, he got shellacked because of his support of the Vietnamese War, and people ignored all the rest of the stuff.
And a lot of what LBJ accomplished was part of John F. Kennedy's, thoughts and what he wanted to have done.
Well, yeah, but I think most historians look at LBJ as the Joe Biden kind of a guy who knows how to run things through Congress, and maybe JFK didn't have that same talent. Right. So maybe LBJ was able to accomplish what JFK could only wish he might accomplish.
All right, let's go to Tom from LA. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Hey, I would really strongly recommend anyone to watch The Last Words of Lawrence O'Donnell last night. Get a full hour with Joe Biden. Joe Biden, his only problem, like Sandy said, the worst branding president in the world. But Joe Biden, if you watch this interview, that guy, if he didn't have a speech impediment, if he didn't have arthritis, he would have been elected again without a problem. In today's TV world, you can't have that. But the thing is, he spoke last night on that show and how he did everything in terms of foreign policy and how he did everything in terms of domestic policy. This guy had a plan going in. He did a great, great job. And one thing he said is that all of the, and this goes with what Sandy was talking about the other day, that the reason he got things through was because he thought of how it was it affects the other person across the aisle. He talked about empathy, even though when Barack Obama had Sonia Sotomayor in there running for Supreme Court, and they talked about empathy, the Republicans made empathy a very dirty word. And empathy is how you got things through. So, Sandy, watch that, because it's going right along with what you talked about on Monday. And they talked about coming to the table, whether it was Nixon, I wasn't around then, or whoever it was, they all came to the table with good faith.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to CJ. Good morning to you, CJ. You say what?
Okay. Well, thank you for taking my call, Harold and Sandy. As I listen, you try to convince people.
I'm not trying to convince people of anything. I just ran down 23 accomplishments of Joe Biden, not Earl Ingram, not according to Earl Ingram, but according to historians and others who know the facts. Okay, so you can go from there.
Well, I wish I was. That's the agenda for Sandy and Mai's debate.
There is no Sandy in your debate. What is your thoughts about the conversation we're having?
Monday the 20th is going to be a great day, Martin Luther King Day, and the inauguration of number 47. You spoke of the list of what things he did. Well, I'd like to speak to two, if I could.
I don't want to hear about the 13 soldiers that got killed in Afghanistan. Again, CJ, you know, we're talking about all of these great accomplishments, and I'm not going to let you tarnish them with coming back with the same thing over and over again.
Well, you blow by the 13 just the way he does. They wouldn't, the Gold Star family.
Hey, CJ, what about the child poverty cut in half? What about that? What are your thoughts about that?
I find that laughable.
Why? Why do you find that laughable?
To the families that can't afford groceries.
What are you talking about, man? He attempted to even expand it, to extend it. It was Republicans who said no.
Well, let me ask CJ a question about groceries. CJ, what do you think about the antitrust laws? Should they be applied to the grocery industry, and should the government try to implement the Robinson-Patman Act or the antitrust law, other antitrust laws in the grocery area, so that next time we have inflation, groceries don't go up at a far faster rate in price than inflation?
Hang on. 855-752-4842. Guys, hang on the phone line.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Hey, it's me time at Chula Vista.
time for you to pamper yourself. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by four generations of the Kaminsky family, Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, 18 holes of classic golf, a relaxing spa, or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park. Zip lining through canyon views in Chula's Aerial Adventure Park. And dining comes any way you like it, from pizza to Wisconsin's number one ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from with $10 million in updates. Chula Vista, everything you've been wanting, all right here on site. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Miles and miles of freshly groomed cross-country and hiking trails. Ski, sled, snowshoe. Warm up at our indoor water park. ChulaVistaResort.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In the first week of the new session of the Wisconsin State Legislature, Republicans fast-tracked a measure that would put a question on the ballot in the upcoming spring election that would enshrine voter ID in the state constitution. Two things on this. First, it is telling that Republicans made this their very first order of business. Senate Democratic leader Dianne Hesselbein responded to this, saying it's not cost of living or health care or gun violence that Republicans wanted to focus on, but a constitutional amendment. Telling, isn't it? But that leads to the second piece. Republicans are clearly doing this for politically motivated reasons. By having this on the spring election ballot, they're betting it will make it more likely that people who showed up to vote for Donald Trump in November will be heading to the polls to help elect right-wing candidate Brad Schimmel to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. That election is on April 1st, so buckle up.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. We were talking about some of the greatest achievements that President Joe Biden has accomplished in his four-year term, and so we ran down a list of many of them. And Tony says, cutting child poverty is not laughable, CJ. You know, I mean, I happen to know many children who live in poverty. I see them. And as Sandy stated earlier, it's a calumny on our nation that we allow so many children to grow up in poverty. What do we think happens to children who grow up in poverty when they become adults? Anyway, Sandy.
Well, we have this the party that seems to be the champion of the infant, right? Of people being required to have the children that might be conceived and bring them into the world. But we have one of the highest infant mortality rates. We have a very high rate of mortality of the mothers during birth. Once they're born, we have one of the highest infant poverty rates. And we don't have a country that provides child daycare to these children that might be born into poor households. I mean, we've got a lot of room to grow and to move in the direction of actually putting money where our mouth is in terms of supporting young children in this country.
You were asking CJ a question before we went to break.
Well, I was, only because CJ and others keep pointing at the price of groceries and the inflation, and we have an incoming president who promises to put the antitrust laws to sleep. And it's really the scale of the grocery industry, the extent to which mergers have allowed mega companies to create sort of this oligopoly pricing structure, where when a big grocery store raises the prices of something, he knows his competitors will simply follow and raise the prices rather than reduce the prices to take the business away from them, like competition would. So, you know. If we have a problem with respect to the price of food, The problem relates to the competitive nature of that industry, and we need a government. The only answer to that is government action. And we have an incoming administration that promises less government action, not more.
CJ, quickly.
Okay, well, first off, let me just tell your listener, Al, thank you for his service. I know he doesn't like me, but...
Hey, CJ, you don't have time for that. Do we want to respond?
You see... You treat me different than everybody hears it, Earl.
Hey, CJ, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. How you doing? Thank you very much for the call.
Good morning, guys. What a beautiful sunny day.
Yeah, it is that.
Supposed to be in the 40s today. Just to put a little
levity,
here. Yeah, you know, I got to say something. You know, with the right messaging. The right machine messaging, you know, now describing a president of the United States who is governing roughly half of America. Even, you know, now he's the worst president of all time when, of course, just, you know, a couple of years ago is Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter was the worst of all time. We've heard that off of CJ's lips, I think, over recent times. You know, what we have here is we have a right-wing machine that all they do is crap talk. That's why I got into activism. It's because I'm listening to these guys. I'm listening to the Bill O'Reillys and other right-wing pundits about everything from, you know, anything that the left does. They demonize every single move. When after President Obama, he said he was anti-American because there's a war against Cheerios, for God's sake, and 130 other commodity things, a war against education, Obama's a war against healthcare. I mean, all these things, it just nonstop, it's an avalanche. So my thing is the attention span of the American people. We've learned back in grade school that follow the money leads us really to a lot of the answers that we seek when we're doing our investigations. And when we now see a billionaire class that are growing their wealth by billions annually, while we, the peeps, you know, the middle class and the lower middle class, we're supposed to be happy with 3%, 5% GDP gain. We're supposed to be pacified with, this economic system that is so egregiously weighted toward the elites. Last point, real quick. And when you're seeing these elites now fund our elections and the corporations at the same time are writing all the legislation, what do you think is going to happen? Other than what has happened, and we've lost our democracy, and we've lost, you know, we can message away all you want, but if we still have truth to power is immune from the equation, shame on us.
Hey, Mike, thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, we'll let you respond on the other side. We'll also cover Senate GOP rejects House conservative pitch on corporate tax rates. I just try to let that marinate with you for a moment. Senate GOP rejects House conservative pitch on corporate tax rates. We'll bounce that off of Sandy and you. 855-752-4842. You're tuned into a Friday edition of the Earl Ingram Show with my co-host Sandy Williams.
News from the center, WRCE.
Hey folks, Jimmy K here from Max Inc. Radio. Join me this weekend as I welcome Isaiah and the new people. Plus, Terry chats with jazz musician Janet Plant. It's Max Inc. Saturday and Sunday, 6 to midnight across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin in the dead of winter, could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zanies next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Israel's Security Cabinet recommended the ceasefire deal with Hamas that now just needs Israeli government ratification. That's expected. It would stop 15 months of fighting. 33 Israeli hostages would be released over a six-week period, says ABC's Ian Pannell in Tel Aviv.
The hostages will be released over a six-week period. They'll be transferred to the military and then taken to one of six designated hospitals with specifically designed private wings to undergo a series of medical evaluations and psychological assessments.
The Biden administration's announced changes to Medicare's list of drugs that will be negotiated directly with drug makers. The list now includes popular weight loss drugs like Ozempic. This means likely savings for taxpayers. Administration officials say they have no plans to enforce the TikTok ban when it takes effect Sunday. And President-elect Trump's incoming national security advisor says they have a plan in place to keep the popular app from going dark. This is ABC News.